So sometimes if I am just preaching out of the same book, Kiloiki, then Nirahisi Kusahau, to not really listen, to let it come past. So I thought, since today is a special day, we should have a different book. And here we are in Jeremiah. And actually, Jeremiah was a man who preached for long, even for many years, preached and saw little to happen. He preached to the nation of Judah, the southern part of Israel, but the people went their own way. In these verses, we have a conversation. Panawatu atatu ambao wanasema katika mistari hizi. Pana maneno ya Nabi Jeremiah mwenyewe na pia pana maneno ya Mungu. Na ya tatu pana maneno ya watu wa of Judah. So they can be a little difficult until you see who is speaking, until you pick out which one it is. Jeni Jeremiah, Jeni Watu au Imungu. So tutajaribu na tutasikia maneno that they were saying. Now, pana three things to see in these verses. First, want us to see the foolishness of the people, the folly of the people of the nation. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet who was given a message of judgment, of divine judgment, of anger to fall on them from God. And he was not the first. There were prophets who had come before him. They had risen up early. They had warned the people. And there was Isaiah, Micah, Zephaniah. These are just some of the names. And already part of the nation had been judged. Watu wa nchi ya Israel, in the north, they had already been taken away. The Syrians had come and fought against them and removed them from their land. They had been exiled. And that had been some years earlier. And God had said to them, you must repent. Lazima watubu au nitakuja, and I will destroy this city, destroy the city of Jerusalem. I will take this people far away also. This had been Jeremiah's message to them. Wakati hu palikuwa mfalme mwema katika nchi, palikuwa mfalme ambaye aliitwa Josiah. Kwa muda ya miaka 13, Josiah had been trying to reform the nation, been calling them back to the law of God, calling them back to their covenant with God, that they should walk in it. But the people were not really listening. Oh, yes, some of them on the outside were turning, but the number who were truly turning were very few. Wale ambao walitubu toka mioyo walikuwa wachache sana. And in verse 19, God says, listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Maybe he means listen to those who've already gone. Listen to those that the Syrians came and took away. Listen to those from the north who were exiled many years ago. Won't you see the judgments that have come to them? Won't you remember that your time also can be short? want to remember Kwambahatu Wezi Kucheza Michezu Hamojana Mungu. Won't you remember that? Or perhaps he's saying, listen to the voice of your future. Because you are going to be taken far away. You are going to be removed from this country to Babylon. Listen to the words that you'll say at that time. These are the words they said in verse 19. They said, is the Lord not in Zion? Zion, that's a name for Jerusalem, God's city. The great city of the Holy Land, as it was. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? These were people who did not understand. They said, look, we have the city of God. We have God's temple. Our king is with us. How can we be exiled? How can this city be destroyed? How is it possible for judgment to be upon us? Are we not chosen? Are we not God's own people? Is his name not with us? See, they relied on their privileges. They relied upon the good gifts God had given them. And they said, oh, there can't be judgment upon us. It's not possible. They relied on the forms of religion. They relied on the outward things. But God says it's not enough. It's not enough to have the outward things. It's not enough to have the name of God. It's not enough to have the preaching and the singing and the praying. Lazima pia utubu toka moyo yako. Lazima. There must be the reality of repentance. There must be a true change. You cannot play games with God. You cannot rely on your privileges. Usi seme a wazazi wangu walikuwa wa Kristo na mimi nilibatizwa toka kanisa katika kanisa na ninakuja kila wiki. Oh, how can God judge me? How could God send me to hell? How could God pour his anger upon me? Surely I'll be going to heaven. That's what those people were saying. That was their excuse. And it was wrong. Yes, God is in his holy temple. Yes, God does reign. Yes, God's name is great. But those are the very reasons why they had to be judged. Because a holy God will not dwell with sinful people who play games with him. A God whose name is awesome and great will not allow his name to be defiled, his name to be brought to the mud by a rebellious and sinful people. Because he was in that city of Jerusalem and in his temple, he had to cleanse the place of these evildoers. God's name is not a magic name to protect us when we sin. God's name is not like a charm. You can't just repeat, ah, Jinala Yesu, and somehow now God will take care of you, though you take no care to walk in his ways. God will not be mocked, the Bible says. What a man reaps, he will also sow. Na katika mistari ya ishirini, pana excuse ingine na tunaweza ku kusoma maneno haya pia. Said the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. It's saying the seasons are passing by, the time has gone. And why has God not yet delivered us? Now, it seems they were thinking, surely God will forget his anger. Surely if we just wait a little time, God will come and rescue us out of all our problems. Surely the only thing is, just a few more weeks, a few more months, the troubles we can see coming will go away. As if those people from Babylon, that other nation, yes, if they're coming with their great army, well, they'll go away again. Jerusalem won't fall. The temple won't be destroyed. We won't go into exile. And yet, the voice of the future, the voice of the people warning them, says, no, the seasons will pass. The time of planting will come, the time of harvest will come. The end of the year will come, and there will be no deliverance. God is not such a God to forget the evil done against him. God is not a God to forget our sin. God is a God who is righteous. What happens here on this earth? Well, the years pass and sins are forgotten. What things were done in Kenya in the 1980s? Will there be justice? Will those who did evil against the people be brought to court? Will they be prosecuted? Will they be punished? These things just go further into the past. Will anyone be punished for what happened at the last election? Will the post-election violence, will anybody be called to justice for it? Well, the time goes on. 6 months becomes 1 year, becomes 2 years, becomes 4 years, will soon become 5 years. But with God, everything is before him. He sees the sins we've done today. He sees the sins we did 10 years ago. He sees the sins of 25 years ago. We can't just say, let's just wait, let's just hide a little. God's anger will pass like the clouds that come and the clouds go again. It's just a threat. We keep our heads down, all will be well. But Jeremiah the prophet says it will not be well unless your sins are dealt with. Then God will not forget. God forgets our sins when we repent of them, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we turn to him and we take up his cross to follow him, when we put all our trust in the Saviour. Then God says, your sins are as far away as the east is from the west. Your sins are behind my back, that I will not look upon them anymore. But if we don't repent, then the Bible says, that meneno haya yakuja toka marua wale malangu ya tapili. He says, I will show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, his tolerance, his patience, not understanding. God's kindness leads you towards repentance. As if the clouds of judgment come, yes, and nothing falls, nothing's fallen yet, you don't say, ah, then we're safe, he'll pass over. No, you say, our God is being so patient with us, but let me not test his patience. Let me not try his patience. Let me repent. Well, there's still time. So the prophet Jeremiah was saying, don't rely on empty hopes. Don't make excuses. Don't say, it'll never happen. Don't say, God will forget. his anger, but say, Jesus, forgive me today. Jesus, I've been away from you for so long, and you've been so kind that you haven't judged me yet. Jesus, have mercy on me today. Now, Yapili, we look at God's holy judgments. Now, we've looked at the foolishness of the people and their excuses and their reasons for not repenting. But God speaks of his judgment in verse 19. Because they were saying, well, God is in Jerusalem. Our king is here, we'll be safe. But God replies, Mungu akajibu na akasema, verse 19, why have they provoked me to anger? You know, to provoke someone. You ever provoke your brother or your sister? You know, you're meant to be quiet. You're sitting in the class, or you're sitting maybe in the church. You're sitting in a meeting. And your brother or sister, you keep annoying them. You poke them. You nudge them. You irritate them until they make a noise. And they go, ah! And everybody looks at them. And they get in trouble. Sometimes we're provoked. Sometimes we provoke others. Well, these people had provoked God. They kept pushing him. They kept prodding him. And how did they do it? It says, with their images, with their worthless foreign idols. They had taken the gods of the other nations and bowed down to them. They had served the gods of the countries around them. They had not given God alone worship. Now we have this word, idols. The Bible speaks about idolatry. Idolatry is to give the glory that should be God's to someone or something else. It's to give your heart, which should be completely God's, to something else. Is to have someone or something else as the king in your life where God should be the king. Now that does not have to be just statues. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not going and bowing down. I have no statues at home. And I suppose at certain times he must shut his door and bow and pray using those statues. Well, you say, I don't do that. But there's many, many other kinds of knowledge. What has your heart? Who has your heart? What do you want more than anything? What do you want more than God? When you have to choose between God's honor and glory and something else, what do you choose? So in the book of Colossians, we're told that greed is idolatry. Those who want money and possessions more than to honor God, they are idolaters. They are putting something in the place of God. Maybe it's your business. If you had to choose your business to do well or to give God the glory, then your business will come first. Maybe it's a boy. Maybe it's a girl you want more than anything, and you're ready to break the law of God. You're ready to dishonor God to get the boy or the girl you want. Maybe it's education. Maybe you want more than anything your children to get their education, and you want that more than you want them to love Jesus Christ. Idolatry is anything that comes where God should be. Yesu alisema, seek first ufalme wa Mungu na haki yake, na vitu vyote vingine vitakuja. So, but seek the kingdom, ya kwanza. Jui vitu vyote. When you seek something else first, God says you are an idolater. And the Bible says that the Lord is a jealous God. He's jealous for his honor and glory. Sometimes when we're jealous, it's wrong. Somebody says, he's got a better house than me. Why should he have it? That's the wrong jealousy. The Bible says, you must covet your neighbor's house. And there is a right jealousy. If a man says, this is mine. She's for me. I don't want to see her with another man. She's my wife. I want to care for her. I want to love her. I want to keep her. I want to provide for her. I want to build her up. That's a right jealousy. If a man said, I don't know, she can let her go to her neighbor's place, let her go anywhere, what is it to me? You'd say, there's something wrong with that man. There is a right jealousy. And God is rightly jealous for his honor and for his glory. We were made for him. Our heart should be his. And God wants that, even more than a man wants his wife. Idolatry brings God's anger. They have provoked me. God desires what is his. God desires us. These images, these idols, they cannot save the people of Judah from God's anger. You put your hopes in a boy or a girl. You put your hopes in your business or in education. Will they deliver you from God's anger? Will they save you from his wrath when he asks you why you've been an idolater? So in verse 19, we hear these people speaking from a land far away. Their idols were worthless. They had no ears, they had no lips, they had no eyes. They couldn't speak or hear. They couldn't stop the people from being taken to a land far away. God has said he will banish the wicked. When Adam and Eve sinned, you won't come in here anymore. He sent them out. Here, when the people sinned in Jerusalem, he said, I'll send you away. You'll go to a far land. You won't understand the language there. You won't have my temple. You won't have my presence with you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Thessalonica Yapili, Mangria Quenza, Mysteria Tisa, Nanane Pia, Nani Atisa. It says, God will punish those who do not know God. The Lord Jesus will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. They will be shut out from the presence of the Lord, from the majesty of his power. Be glorified in his holy people. That they'll be shut out, they'll be exiled from the presence of the Lord. They'll be punished with unending destruction. God will remove the evildoers from his earth and from his presence. Just like with the flood, he washed the earth clean whilst he saved Noah and his family. So one day with fire, he will wash this earth clean. And he will save his people. There will be no escape from his judgment. Na sasa, tusikie maneno ya Nabi Jeremiah. Na tusikie vitu alivyosema. Vituhivi. They cut him to the heart. They were painful to him. He had preached for many years without people repenting, but he still cared for them. He could not forget them. It could not become just a job to him. Verse 18. Oh, my comforter in sorrow. My heart is faint within me. My heart is weak. I'm ready to fall over, because this is so painful to me. The Bible says God does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in the sufferings of those that he judges. The prophet Jeremiah, he put himself alongside these people. Alijiweka, kati kati ya watu hawa. In verse 21, he says, since my people are crushed, I am crushed. This word crushed, it's a position of pain as you're squeezed, the life is squeezed out of you. Another translation says to be bruised, deeply hurt. Verse 21 says, I mourn. The Hebrew words were, I am black. That might mean, I'm dressed in the clothes of mourning, like those who go to the burials. You know, the mourning at the burial, as a loved one is gone, far away. Jeremiah looks at his people and he says, they're so far from God, but they're so near to his judgment. And I can't bring them back. They won't turn again to God. I mourn. I am black. That's the word he says. Or maybe it means if you have harvest, if you have some fruit, and as it's crushed and as it's bruised, then it's black. The pain and the wound is very deep to me. This is the compassion of the prophet. Verse 21, the end of the verse, he says, horror grips me as I see the storm of God's wrath coming, and it's going to fall on these people. I'm horrified. It's going to be awful. We read some of the things that happened in the destroying of Jerusalem. We read how even a woman was forced to eat her own children because of the terrible things that happened. We read of babies being thrown against rocks. We read of pregnant women being ripped open by merciless enemy who came as God's judgment fell on them. Jeremiah sees these kinds of things coming and he says it's horror. In the Bible, we're giving a small sight of the fires of God's judgment. We're given a sight of the hell which is to come on the ungodly. We who believe, it ought to move us more than it does. We ought to feel much more compassion and pity for the unsaved than we do. Jesus felt this compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. Injili la Matthayo, tunaweza kusoma. It says, he saw the crowds. He had compassion or pity upon them. They were harassed, troubled, and helpless. Kamakondo bilom chungaji. Na akasema kwa wanafunzi wake. Said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Apostle Paulo pia katika sura ya tisa ya barua ya Warumi. It says, or he said, I have great sorrow. I have unstopping, unceasing anguish. enormous pain in my heart. I could even wish that I myself was cursed and cut off from Christ because of my brothers, my own race, the people of Israel. Paul saw his own people under God's judgment because they were far from Christ. And he said, my pain never stops because they're lost. The judgment of God will come upon them soon, and they won't escape. The spirit in the prophets was the spirit of Christ. The spirit speaking in Jeremiah is the spirit of Christ. He says, my people are crushed, and so I am crushed. I know horror drinks. The good news is that this love of Christ moved him. And this love was in the Father also. And alium tuma Christo. Angir. Angir dunirhi. Na akufem salaban. This pain, as he saw his people ready to die, it moved him to the cross. And Jesus was crushed under the weight of God's anger there on the cross. His heart was made faint. His sorrow were more than any man knew when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God judged Jesus on the cross to save his people. Jesus paid the price so that we could go free. All our idolatry, all our serving of other things in the world, instead of giving our heart first to God, Jesus paid the price when he died at Calvary. When he cried out, it is finished, he had opened the way for us to return to God, so that God's judgment does not have to fall upon us. God can forget. A holy and just God who hates sin can say, sin has been dealt with. Sin has been punished. My son has paid the price. Now you sinners can become my friends. Because Jesus there was crushed on the cross of Calvary. Because blackness and darkness came upon him. Jeremiah said to the people in verse 22, said, is there no balm in Gilead? Balm was a kind of medicine from a certain plant, Waliweza Kupata Dawa, having this name, balm. There were many of these plants in Gilead. If you were sick and the medicine was on your table, you're lying in bed, the fever is very bad, the medicine is on your table. If you just left it there, what would we say? We'd say, this man, this woman, they're mad. Why don't they just reach out their hand, take the medicine and get well again? Why should these people of Judah be under the anger of God when God holds his hands out in mercy and says, come back to me, return to my laws, receive my forgiveness, leave your idols, leave your images, come back to me, I will heal you, I will make you whole again. There is a cure. The Lord Jesus holds out his arms. In our reading we read, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, all you feel the weight of your sin on your shoulders. You feel the anger of God beginning to press down. Jesus says, come to me, you're tired, you're burdened with your old ways, come to me, take up my way. My way is easy, my burden is light. There's medicine, it's just on the table. You just have to reach out. You just have to ask him. You just have to say, Lord Jesus, I come. I can't bring you anything good, but I come because you promised. You said, Saviour, you would forgive. So, Saviour, forgive me. We live in a day like Jeremiah, because the word of God is preached in many places. Now, I know in many places they preach lies and they preach false things. But the word of God is here. Many people have their Bibles on their shelves. Many people hear Jesus saying, come to me. But so many just want to continue in their sins. They say, I won't leave my idols. I won't leave my images. I will do what seems right to me. And surely God won't judge me, because am I not a Christian? Do I not have that name? But we must be serious with God. We must listen to his warnings. We must run as quickly as we can to Jesus Christ. Salvation is near, but the time may be short. Call on Jesus, even today.